It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta know the Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe.
All right, 11:05 on The Fan, hour two. Our radio program. Joe and Evan in the midday, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. Hit the 1 o'clock CMB. Comes your way, Mike, after that. Dolph Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass.
The good news from the Yankees last night is that Miguel Andujar hit a home run.
Yep.
Gleyber Torres.
Another one. Austin Romine.
Austin Romine filling in for Gary Sanchez left with cramps.
So is that now four games in a row, they've hit at least four home runs in a game, which is like the all-time Yankee record, which is stunning?
They had three yesterday, though.
It's four.
Yesterday.
Oh, three. Yeah,
yesterday,
yeah, yeah.
Three.
Three, that's right. I'm
only,
sorry.
Only three.
I know why I was thinking four, but you're right, it was only three.
They scored four runs, but they got
two-run homer from Romine.
Right, and the solos from the other two guys.
Right.
So that's the positive. I mean, Gleyber Torres is just on fire right now.
The guy's unbelievable.
And we were mentioning this yesterday. I don't think he had ever had a season in the minors where he hit more than 11 home runs. He's already at seven in the major leagues.
I know.
So sometimes that happens, I guess. But he's really blossoming. Miguel Andujar, I think both of these guys making the statements of, hey, we ain't going anywhere. You can figure out the Neil Walker, Greg Bird, Brandon Drury, Tyler Austin thing any way you want. But those two guys are certainly making a statement that they have to play.
Yep.
The bad was Herman, who now gives you his second straight mediocre to bad start. They jumped on him early, threw a bunch of wild pitches, gives up the home run to Profar, that laser beam home run to Guzman. And so you look at the back of this rotation right now, and really just him, and there isn't any help coming anytime soon, because Justice Sheffield was just called up to AAA and is now on the DL. Chance Adams, I don't think, is close only because he isn't pitching well. I mean, the Yankees could bring him up, but I saw in his last start, he gave up five runs in three innings. He's pitched to a 5 ERA at AAA, so I'm sure they still believe in the guy, but I doubt they're going to call him up and give him a spot in this rotation while he's struggling at AAA. So those are the two young guys you keep an eye on, and what's the update on Jordan Montgomery? I still think we're a ways away from seeing him again, so you figure Herman's going to get more of an opportunity, but as we always talk about with the Yankees adding a starting pitcher, so much can happen between now and July. And maybe what happens is that they do need somebody to fill out the fifth spot in this rotation.
Well, I thought that last night, I mentioned this earlier, was the audition by Cole Hamels to be that guy that they trade for. I mean, he pitched great against the Yankees, seven terrific innings. He only gave up the two runs, a couple home runs. And, you know, I'm sure that was in the back of his mind when he was pitching his game last night.
Oh, I think for him,
a little bit of an audition for the Yankees.
Sure, I think for him, he wants it. I mean, he's a guy who pitched in a big city in Philadelphia.
Yeah, won a championship.
Yeah, and pitched for the Phillies when they were good.
Right, as I
said.
And
they were competitive every year, and he was a World Series MVP and all that.
Yep.
And he gets traded to Texas and has a really good run. And now the Rangers feel like a bad team. So I'm sure Cole Hamels at 35 is thinking to himself, or 34, I want one more opportunity to win. So I don't doubt for a second that last night, as he's facing the Yankees, he's got that extra motivation. Because he's on a baseball team right now that isn't going anywhere.
Yeah. And I'm sure the Yankees took notice. I'm sure they did.
Well, I think what they take notice of a few things about Cole Hamels that's appealing. Number one, he's a lefty.
Yep, no doubt.
Number two, the postseason big city experience.
No, he's a champion. He's a winner. He's been in big games in his career.
And I think the third thing that's probably going to be the most appealing is I don't think they have to give up the top echelon prospects.
Right. Absolutely.
And so what a perfect world that could be potentially for Brian Cashman.
I think he would thrive with the Yankees, to be honest with you. I really do. I think that would be a good move for them.
Here's the question. Will he Verlander, Gerrit Cole, Charlie Morton thrive? Or will he just thrive and be a little bit better?
I think he's the kind of guy that, you know, he's used to being on good teams for most of his career. Like I said, he's used to pitching in big games. He's won a championship. He's been in a couple World Series, all of that. I think he'd be a perfect guy for the Yankees.
So
I really do.
1.3 ERA after he comes over, you think?
I don't know if that good, but I think he'll be good.
No, I
don't. I think he'll be good.
I'm kidding around because of what's gone on in Houston.
You know, he's a pro. To me, Cole Hamels is a pro.
Oh, yeah.
And you get him out of a losing situation into a winning situation like that, I think he'd be terrific. I do.
Yeah, I think he'd be a nice addition. By the way, Jersey Mike's is the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and they're a proud sponsor of the 11 a.m. hour. If you're thinking about lunch, think about Jersey Mike's. But I would say the same thing about Cole Hamels today as about anybody else, which is I would still take a wait and see approach.
Oh, yeah. I don't have to do it now.
Right. And what's great about where the Yankees are record wise, despite the fact that the Boston Red Sox are keeping pace with them and they won last night.
Yeah.
And look, all of a sudden, the Yankees, who have had this amazing start, they're 31-14, they're technically a half game out of first place.
But I think they're one ahead of them in the loss.
Yeah,
though.
Really, they're a game up in the loss.
Here's
column.
The bottom line. And we know the bottom line here.
What's that?
One of these teams is going to be in a wild card game.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's a given.
Yeah, that sucks
for
them.
And if you're the Yankees, you don't want to be that team.
Hell no.
It really comes down to that.
That's why it's a great race.
Yep.
It's not great if you're a Yankee fan sitting there on October 3rd getting ready to play the Mariners in a one-game playoff.
Right.
And, you know, God knows what happens. Right. James Paxton comes in and pitches a two-hit shutout.
Right.
But it's the beauty of the race. But I think because of where they are, even though it is a competitive American League East, I think you've got time to throw Herman out there a bunch more times and see what this kid has, because what he has shown you, not only out of the bullpen, but certainly in the first start he made, is that he's got great stuff and great potential. And with young players, even though we may not be used to this with the Yankees because everybody comes up and is amazing, but young players struggle.
Sometimes.
Sometimes they do.
Look, Severino had some rough moments a couple years
Absolutely.
Ago.
Absolutely. What's funny about Severino is he came up and was great. Then the following year was awful. And then he put it all together last year and now into this year where he's certainly a bona fide ace in the American League. So I think they're in a position where they can be patient with Herman, because I would be. And part of why I'd be patient is I really don't have other options. You know, if Justice Sheffield was knocking down that door, then fine, call him up. Why not? A young lefty with high potential like that? Great. But he's not knocking on that door right now. Same thing with Chance Adams. He's not pitching well. He's not knocking on that door. So for now, Herman deserves to remain in this rotation. And who knows? I mean, he certainly showed that potential in the first start he made. You go out and throw six no-hit innings, you're doing something, right?
Yeah, but the last two haven't been good, though.
They've been bad. No doubt. He's bad. He's been bad. The other thing from last night was Boone showed us a little fire. He's not quite Joe Girardi, though. Girardi's got the veins popping.
No.
He would take home plate and throw it.
He doesn't
look like
he gets that mad about anything, Boone. You know what I mean?
Hey, he looked a little mad last night, just not on that level.
This wasn't Billy Martin or Lou Piniella or Earl Weaver or anything like that.
No, you mentioned
even Girardi.
No, he wasn't
Girardi.
Not
even close.
Not even close. And it was interesting hearing what really annoyed him. So it was twofold. There was a lot of things going on with the strike zone, but I think he was also annoyed that Aaron Hicks steps in, wasn't really ready, and the umpire kind of allows the pitch to be thrown, so that annoyed him. And then during the Gary Sanchez at-bat, he was annoyed. So it was a lot of things, according to Aaron Boone, that added to the point where Pat Hoiberg had an issue with him and said, all right, get the hell out of here.
Right.
I don't necessarily think he was doing it to fire up the team, because I don't think the Yankees, with the way they've played, need to be fired up. You know, even though they were losing in this game 6-1, I don't think that Boone needed to even do that with this team. I think he was probably just genuinely ticked off at the guy, because as we all know, umpires for the most part are terrible.
Oh, God.
So he was probably genuinely ticked that Aaron Hicks is getting quick pitch. He's probably legitimately ticked that the strike zone was moving all over the place. He's probably just not happy about it.
Electronic strike zone. I beg.
Someday.
In my lifetime, I want to see that.
Depends how long your lifetime goes.
Well, I mean, I don't know. 10 years? Impossible?
Yeah, I could see it. I mean, we've seen so many changes in the last 10 years. That's the way I would look at it. If you say, can it happen in the next 10 years? Well, what has changed in baseball in the last 10 years? And the answer is a lot.
Oh, God.
A lot has changed.
Are you kidding?
Not just replay, but the way the game is played.
Totally different. The shift.
Yeah.
How about that? How about the pitch counts that we see now? How the starting pitcher is used? You know, five innings and you give up one run, and you pitch great. Let's throw a party for the guy. I mean, right?
Exactly.
I mean, there's so many things.
That's why
it's a launch angle now.
Right.
You know, it's a hit home run. Strikeouts is okay if you strike out a million times a year.
Bunts are evil. Right. Stolen bases are evil.
Let's all worry about how many times we're walking. I mean, we could go on and
Managers
on.
Managers are irrelevant.
Right.
You're right. When you think about it top to bottom, since 2008, how much the game has changed, it's crazy. A lot has changed.
Yep.
So what will baseball look like in 2028?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
I think it's very possible. So on a scale from 1 to Billy Martin, I'm going to give Boone, I think it was more Willie Randolph than anything. Willie Randolph was always pretty, you know, he was chill when he would argue.
Yeah, he wasn't,
So I'd say he was more Willie Randolph than he was Joe Girardi. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that.
By the way, you know, I'm just thinking about this with the shift. You see the other night, it didn't hurt him because they won the game anyway. I forget the sequence, but nobody's covering third. and one of the Marlins basically walks the third base.
Oh, yeah. I think it was Starlin Castro.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what are we doing here?
Well, one of the negatives of the shift is that it can turn the mundane into something like that.
Yeah.
The greatest shift I've seen has actually happened against Joey Gallo of the Texas Rangers, where the Houston Astros, when they play him, will just... I mean, you talk about an exaggerated shift. They basically put everybody in right field. And just say, all right, everybody go over there. And they give Gallo the entire left side of the infield to go do whatever the hell he wants. And most guys don't do anything about it. I love when a guy says, yep. All right, you're going to give me a base hit, I'm going to take it.
Yep. You don't see it a lot, I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you why it really annoys me. Take one of the best players in baseball. Who you want to take? Mike Trout? Won't even take
whatever.
Aaron Judge?
Whatever guy you want to take.
All right, let's take Aaron Judge, who's slumping right now.
Right.
Aaron Judge, as good as he is, gets on base 41% of the time. Okay? That means 60% of the time he's not getting on base. If you're giving a guy, even if they hit a million home runs, the 95% shot that they're going to get on base, why wouldn't you take it? I mean, it's a numbers game.
I understand.
Why wouldn't you take it?
I understand.
Because you hit a lot of home runs? All right. Aaron Judge had 52 home runs last year, which is an absurd amount. He did it in 678 plate appearances, which is still not a high percentage. So if someone's giving you first base, they're saying, take it. Just take, especially if you're right. Joey Gallo. Forget Aaron Judge.
I don't think Ted Williams would have even done it, though. Ted
no,
Williams,
I know.
Ted Williams would have said, okay, fine. I'm going to hit the ball out over the shift.
Yeah.
I don't even think he would have tried to go to left field. That would have like been below Ted Williams.
And you know what?
Right? Yeah, it would have been.
I didn't see enough of how often Ted Williams saw the shift and what he actually did with it.
Well,
I mean, did he ever lay down a bunt?
I don't know.
No?
You know what?
That's the thing we don't know.
I saw Ted Williams only in actually the first baseball game I ever went to, 1960 Yankee Red Sox doubleheader. Ted Williams was last year. And I remember my uncle pointing it out to me, this great player, this is Ted Williams, da-da-da. You know, I'm 7 years old, you know. So, I mean, I didn't see Ted Williams, obviously, in his heyday. But I just what I know about him and what, you know, I've read about him is he would be the kind of guy that would not want to just take the base hit.
And you know what,
He would defy you that you were doing the shift.
And maybe I get it because Ted Williams would get on base 50% of the time.
Right.
He was absurdly
whatever it was.
Good.
Right.
But I guess more so with a guy like Joey Gallo. Joey Gallo right now is hitting 197.
Right. He's a home run of nothing.
That's it.
Right.
He has a 276
on base. How
many
home runs does he have?
He's got 14.
Okay.
He hits a lot of home runs.
Right.
He has a 276 on base. That means there's a 73% chance he's not getting on base. Why the hell, if you're Joey Gallo,
you're right.
Who the heck are you?
Yeah, well,
lay down a bunt and take your damn base. You get on base 27% of the time.
You know, anytime I hear Joey Gallo, I think of the mobster Joey Gallo. No, I do. Who was killed outside Umberto's clam house.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You don't think of the all or nothing slugger from the Texas Rangers?
No, I think of Joey Gallo, who was one of the all time. Like I said, in the mafia.
I wonder what Gallo of the Rangers would have to do for you to start thinking about him number one.
He'd have to do better than 176.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Maybe hit 70 home runs one year.
Or he'd have to get traded to the Mets. Then you'd think about
him
first.
Oh, yeah, well, maybe. Yeah, well, God.
That'll definitely change it.
Yes.
We'll be cursing at him.
Probably would.
Can you imagine why? I know the Mets
be
have
like
had.
Be like the left-handed Dave Kingman.
Oh, he's worse than Dave Kingman.
That's what I'm saying, right.
Like, Dave Kingman, we use Dave Kingman as this example, but when you look at his numbers compared to guys of today,
right.
Dave Kingman
right.
is nothing compared to these guys.
That's true.
Dave Kingman would strike out 130 times a year. Joey Gallo is going to get to 130 by August.
Right, right. And he's batting under 200. That's
he's
unbelievable.
Batting under 200.
I mean, Kingman did do that 1 year. I think 1 year Kingman batted like 199 and hit 37 home runs.
Okay,
like
so
that.
The only time he ever hit under 200, I have
wrong.
It. He did it in 100 games, but he did do it. He hit 198 with 13 home runs.
Oh, was that the strike year?
No, it was 83.
Oh, it was 83.
Yeah. In the strike year, he hit 221.
Maybe he hit like 201 or 202 1 year and hit 37 home runs.
That's exactly what you're thinking about. It was 204.
204.
In 1982.
Okay.
He had 204 in 149 games.
37 homers?
37 home runs, 99 RBIs, and an on-base of 285.
Wow.
So I don't even know how to define that year. Is that a good year?
It's a typical Dave Kingman year.
Yeah.
I think the best year Kingman ever had was actually for the Cubs. I think he had 40. That was the most homers he ever hit. He had 48 home runs that year. And he batted about 270 that year, right?
Higher, 288.
Is that what he hit that year?
He had 288.
Right.
With a 343 on base, a 613 slugging, which led the league, 48 home runs, 115 RBIs. That's a good year.
That was his best year he ever had.
Oh, yeah. It's actually not even that close.
Yeah.
Like, he never had a year that even really came that close to the season he had in 1979 with the Chicago
And the most
Cubs.
Homers you have hit for the Mets was 37, right?
Did That's
you
right.
more than that?
No.
I think he did it more than once, too. Or was it? Did he hit 36
He hit 37 twice. He hit 37 back in 1976.
Right, okay.
In his first stint with the Mets.
Right.
And then he hit 37 in 1982.
Okay.
And then he hit the 48 with the Cubs in 1979.
Right.
And he hit 36 one other year with the Mets.
Yeah.
35 once with the A's.
The guy hit like, well, I think it was 442 career home runs.
Nailed it.
Right.
442.
Right.
With a .236 career average.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, he is that all-or-nothing player. It's just that there were so many more extreme Dave Kingmans in 2018.
Oh, he'd be perfect in this world now.
He would.
He's probably upset that he wasn't playing now.
Yeah.